Welcome, world, and thank you for tuning in for the next hour on my show, Culture Crossover. This is DJ Synergy, and I'm here with a special guest, Queen Bee. Hi, Queen Bee.
Hi, DJ Synergy.
So glad to have you here, and I'm so happy to be kicking off my very first radio show. I have a lot to cover, and this broadcast comes to you in three parts. First, we're going to be discussing recent, like, scandalous and controversial news. And then afterwards, we will move on, segue over to a more ironic part. That's right, we're going to be talking everything hipster and indie culture. Lastly, I'll give a look into some pop culture shifts, like some stuff that the public eye is going to comment on and find a little bit offensive, but also going to really enjoy, just kind of have some fun things to talk about. So get comfortable and let's have a chat. Our first segment today, we're going to talk about the Winter Olympics of 2014. Have you been following that, Queen Bee?
Yes, I have been following that, and I'm very glad to say that someone from my hometown is competing in the Olympics right now.
Oh, wow. What is she competing about?
She's competing in the luge. Her name is Kate. She just got interviewed, actually, by NBC the other night for great dance moves that are like Beyonce. That's her pump up.
That is. Wow. That is actually extremely cool. Wish I knew someone in the Olympics. That's a really cool thing to talk about. Anyways, the funny thing about the Olympics is that Olympians have taken to social media to kind of show off, like, the living habits that they have over there. It's not quite first world standards, I guess. And they're showing off all the, like, uncovered manholes on walkways. Like, if you're texting and you're not paying attention, you're going down. And there's also, like, toilet rooms where the room has, like, five toilets but no dividers. And so you're kind of just peeing with whoever you're with. And there's, like, lack of turndown service, ransacked furniture, and the list just goes on. What do you have to say about that, Queen Bee?
Well, the part that grossed me out was the yellow drinking water. Like,
there's no potable water.
Yeah, these athletes are, like, using their, like, last bits of energy and their strength, and they're, like, they're world-class athletes. Like, they're the best athletes, and they don't even have drinking water. Like, they're out there practicing and running and working really hard, and they can't even get a glass of water at the end of the day.
It's definitely not the most prime conditions out there. But another aspect that I wanted to kind of bring up to the table is that the Sochi Olympics of 2014 is showing us is Russia's violent nature with homosexuals. And the Human Rights Watch even released a video documenting the shocking violence provoked upon LGBT citizens. The anti-gay hate crimes in Russia have been documented with photos by photojournalists Isabella Moore. And Isabella Moore documented in an eloquent and harrowing photo essay entitled Putin's War on Gays, the faces subject to this archaic oppression of civil and human rights. And I was looking at it, it's on the just the intolerance and how Russia just, like, they are not as far along as America is with accepting homosexuality. And in it, it's a brief insight into the lives that they lead under Russia's intolerance. And it's really just, it's kind of, like, makes you humble about where you live. What do you have to say, Queen Bee?
I think that, you know, for what we want in this world and how we want, you know, everyone to be treated fairly, and these people are coming to represent lots of different cultures and lots of different places, to come to a place where some of these athletes don't even feel welcome, let alone the people that do call that place their home, mm-hmm. is really unfortunate for a world where we think we've come so far, and yet there's still so far to go.
Yeah, it's just so strange to think that you're here in Marin, California, and you're, like, this is one of the most pivotal locations for gay rights, and you think so much that everyone in, like, the rest of the world is so much, like, forward thinking like you, but then you hear all these, like, awful stories about oppressed people, and that just kind of, like, puts you into, like, a shocked state of mind.
Yeah, it puts into perspective how just a simple change of where you live can completely change your mindset. You forget mm-hmm. that not everyone has such an open ground, and that like these people just want to love the people that they love and live the lives that they want to lead, and they can't go out with the fear of violence. And like, there was one picture I was looking at, and there was like a young kid. He couldn't have been older than like a high school kid, and he just had this bloody nose and was just like, yeah. And he had just looked awful, but like, so like, he just wanted his like voice to be heard, and it didn't even have to be for him. It could have been for his brother or his sister, and you just didn't know. And then they're just hurting these people who don't even necessarily, who have the same values as them when it comes down to it.
Yeah, exactly. I just pulled up actually the website that Queen Bee and I are talking about, and it's on pedestrian.tv, and the article is entitled Portraits of LGBT Russians Put a Face to Human Rights Violations Occurring on the Eve of the Sochi Winter Olympics. And it's really something that you should take a couple of minutes to go through, and it will like completely humble you and see that these people are putting their most vulnerable part of their lives into the spotlight, and they're kind of sacrificing their safety by coming to the front of all of this oppression. And I mean, I'm so proud of these people. I'll probably never meet them in my lives, but even their like courage is just like completely like showed me how our intolerance with homosexuality really needs to make a change in the world.
There needs to be a civil rights movement similar to the one that occurred here, you know, in the 60s.
Exactly.
There needs to be a push just like that.
And I think that the Sochi Olympics is perfect timing for a whole civil rights activism to come forth and really thrive and be something that people respect and take in and everything. But on another note, a more optimistic side is that Michael Sam, he's a player for the University of Missouri, correct? And he has just openly come out as gay. He is a prospect player for the NFL, and he could potentially be the first openly gay NFL player in history. And what I wanted to say is that with this reveal of his sexuality, it's so personal and public now, but what is so great about it is that there's been a complete support for him, and the Times even put out a statement saying, I just want to make sure, actually, incorrect quotation, what the Times said was that, we admire Michael Sam's honesty and courage. Michael is a football player. Any player with ability and determination can succeed in the NFL. We look forward to welcoming and supporting Michael Sam in the year 2014. In addition to that, there was also another post on the official Twitter feed of the University of Missouri, which also offered words of encouragement, stating, we support Tigers of all stripes at Mizzou. Proud of you, Mike Sam. What I just wanted to say about this is that it's kind of strange to like mix sports and social politics into everything, but it does happen every once in a while, and we both support Michael Sam. You go. Just,
woohoo!
Yeah, take it by storm. I hope to see you out there on the field.
Neil Patrick Harris also tweeted at you, Michael Sam, just in case you were wondering. He's proud of you too, all right?
Oh, yes, he is indeed. We're really here to just give an example of how moral understandings are shifting, and I believe social media has the absolute power to really express mind-opening ideals. What about you, Queen Bee?
I think that in this day and age, the voices of the young are being heard a lot more accessibly. Our voices are carried out stronger and further than they ever have been before. You know, in cases like the Olympics and with Michael Sam, like, we're the generation of people, of kids, essentially. We're still kids, and we're fighting for things that we don't even have a real hand in, but we love football and we want the best football players to play football, so we're going to go with that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's not about who you are, like, by social definition. It's your ability to put out your work and work the hardest that you possibly can. And, yeah, I am in total complete agreement with you, Queen Bee. And even Michael Sam made a statement, and he told them that, I just want to make sure that I could tell my story the way I want to tell it. I just want my own truth. And, like, that was just, like, so, like, my heartstrings were just completely pulled apart. I was just like, wow, he just wants to own himself. He wants everyone to know that he's completely comfortable in his own body. And that's something that not everyone can achieve.
No, and he plays football. He loves football. He wants to go out every day and do what he loves. And he's not going to let some social stigma about what men can do and what men can't do if they're gay or not, and let that stop him from doing what he loves. And have you ever seen the movie Valentine's Day?
I have seen some parts of it.
Okay, so there's this big football player, and he's played by McSteamy on Grey's Anatomy. Same guy, same actor. And he comes out as gay, and he's like, I just want to play football. I never thought this was important because I always thought that, you know, football was most important. So if I could go out there and play football every day, it just reminded me of him that, like, we should be more accepting of people, because if they're a good person, if their values are true, and if they just love what they're doing, why would you stop them from being that person?
Yes, very, very true. Like, we even talk to our friends that are on sports teams here at Dominican, and they're just like, all I want to do is just go out there and play. Like, I want my coach to put me in. I want to prove everyone that I have the ability to really just impress everyone, and I don't want to be judged at the end of the day for who I am inside.
Yeah, I mean, there should be no reason why someone shouldn't get to do wake up and feel that they can go outside and be a part of their society and part of their world without feeling like they're going to, you know, end up with a bloody nose or end up with a punch in the face or be walking around and falling into a manhole because they're texting. Like, there's just so many things that this world has bigger issues of, I think.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. It's like, life is so short. How is it that we can keep someone from being who they really are?
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short station break, and we will be back very soon. Don't go away. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. It's Penguin Radio, and this is DJ Synergy.
Oh, They say if it bleeds, it's alive. And God created all of us. But right now, at this point in time, I'm feeling discarded. As the sun hits the shades and tiger strikes my nightmares, I find it all the feelings I've been searching for are right here in the moment. Look into my soul, break that boundary that's impounding me to forfeit what I hold and move past it. I keep my dreams wrapped in plastic, retract my past steps to catch it with my last breath. So, who wants to know what it's like? Wants to feel the things I touch and wipe the blood off of my life? Cause it's all broken bones here, open wounds that don't heal, choking on my own fears.
Hello, hello, this is DJ Synergy, and I'm here to make an announcement. This Thursday, Dominican University's President Mary Marcy will make an appearance at the men's basketball game in the Conlin Center. It'll be about 7:30. She's going to be there, say hello, try and represent us as who we are, and make a good impression on our president. Thank you for listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu.
Teenagers wrists, and if the time was my father, he'd be stolen my birthdays, drinking with his friends, and now it's hurting in the worst way. And I can say it just the way that I know. They said if pain sticks with you, I'm training to let it go. So hold on to this one and save it for your bad days. Open up that passion and my words will make the glass break. And I don't know if my written words can affect you, but listen to my heart and every single breath I stress through. Come on, this is not a note to hip hop. All I'm trying to do is make that quiver on my lips stop and chase out the bad. Purpose think he's got me figured to a science now, and I ain't even asked yet. Damn, meet the tread and water champion. The other side of happiness, the most of y'all are standing in. Raise up and try to capture the trust, cause I move with all my passions and extract what I must.
Hello, this is DJ Synergy, and we are back. Yes, we are. I am with Queen Bee in the station.
Hello.
Hello, Queen Bee. All right. So after that segment, we were talking a little bit about gay rights and oppression, and now we're going to make a little segue over to some ironic parts of our lives, the hipster. What I wanted to really bring into this show is a combination of indie culture and pop culture, and the hipster persona may be something that the public eye misconstrues. And I think even a hipster doesn't even understand their underground characteristics all too much. What do you have to say about that, Queen Bee?
I mean, I completely agree with the fact that the hipster doesn't understand that they're a hipster. Like, if you're really a hipster,
you have no idea.
Exactly.
You're like, I got no Blues Clues at all.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, exactly. You're not really too concerned.
All right. To all you listeners out there, I'm here to clear up what it means to live a hipster lifestyle. And a funny thing that I found was the hipster translator, it's a little infographic about what they say and what they mean, because it can get a little confusing sometimes. All right, Queen Bee, I say meditation is the best exercise. Do you know what I mean?
That you are ready to prepare for a disappointment when I take my shirt off.
And then I'm going to say I have, quote, issues, unquote.
I don't, and I wish I was more mysterious.
All right, and one thing is that maybe a hipster is something that we have a slight definition. It's someone who, you know, they're cutting edge. They're always the one to find the best music. They're always the person who's wearing that iron-pressed flannel, which is a little weird. And sometimes they're a little dirty, even. But, yeah, that's what a hipster is. And one statement that they might say is, check out this song.
Well, you know, basically what I'm trying to say right now is that I know a lot of bands and some songs that you've probably never heard of.
And then we're going to say, hey, Queen Bee, do you know, is this vegan?
So, like, I'm kind of the person who's, like, has a strong conviction and a weak bowel movements. This is your chance to ask me about either. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to pass on that one for now, though.
Okay.
So, as a hipster, I tell you, oh, my goodness, I like your jeans.
In reality, she does not care about my jeans at all.
I'm just trying to put a little bit of a punch into you.
She's kind of like Regina from Mean Girls, for those of you out there who love Mean Girls as much as I do.
All right, so it's Thursday night. I'm ready. I'm done with classes. Maybe I have radio the next day, but that's not a worry in my mind. I'm going to ask my friend Queen Bee, do you have any beer?
And I'm going to be like, do you have any Pabst Blue Ribbon? Like, can you take a picture of me drinking it so I can Instagram it later?
Can we put some Pabst selfies on the social website?
Should I use the Walden filter or should I use Nashville?
All right, guys. That was a fun little play on the hipster life. But what I am going to say, which I was dying laughing when I was reading this last night, there's a pop-up store that has surfaced called Dumb Starbucks. Now, Starbucks is a giant chain store, and a lot of hipsters are always critiquing it, like, it's not really coffee, it's just sugar and water and a little bit of caffeine, but that's all that Starbucks has to represent. So with Dumb Starbucks, it's essentially two baristas got the idea to provide free brewed coffee as well as pastries to its customers. And did you see anything about this, Queen Bee?
Yeah, I was, I don't even know where I saw it, but I was looking at it and they like, it's in LA and there's like lines out the door for this place. Like people are lining up ready to get their Dumb Starbucks and they have like all the different drinks with dumb in the front of it. And like my favorite one that I think you saw too was the Dumb Blonde Roast.
Oh yeah.
That was really funny.
That was a funny
because,
one.
Because like they didn't mean for it to be a play on words, but it ended up being like a really big play on words mm-hmm. and it was really funny.
I think that they should really like, if they want to get serious about this, they have to change all the names. They got to really dedicate themselves to being what Dumb Starbucks should really be.
Yes. Yeah, they could take this and run. Like, I mean, if they got enough money to where this is, like, you know, a sustainable thing, the thing is, they're not getting paid for any of this. You know, they're getting publicity, they're getting people to write stories about them. But in reality, they're giving away free coffee. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so funny because it's the irony of the fact that people are actually going to this and actually thinking that this is like funny. And I totally agree. I think it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Like if I still lived in my hometown, I'd totally be here. I'd be like lining up.
Exactly. Cause the store right now is in LA, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, I just think it's just a matter of time till it expands. but what I was also reading is like, how can they have Starbucks coffee in the name without being sued? And since they're not technically, the customers aren't purchasing anything, the creative arts section is kind of saving them, which is totally hipster, by the way.
Yeah, like, when you find like the really tiny loophole.
The little loophole of life is that we can sell this Dumb Starbucks coffee as an art gallery. And what they're getting out of it is the...
That's really funny.
It's the free brewed coffee and the pastries.
So you come and visit their gallery, essentially, and you get free coffee. That's
exactly.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I
wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, that sounds like a great, you know, plan on life. We could do it with so many things.
Oh, yes. I was already thinking. I was talking to a friend of ours named DJ Cal Nick, and, you know, he was saying, why not make a dumb Facebook? And then I was throwing a twist at him, like, why don't we make them pay? Because
Facebook free.
Is free. What an idea.
If we really want to trap the hipsters, though, we got to go to, like, dumb Instagram.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wow.
Like, you pay for the better filter.
Exactly. Let's purchase, like, a 79-cent filter and, like, really get the complete awesome exposure perfect. Oh, yes. Yes.
This is money right here. Don't steal our ideas, guys. We've already put them out into the universe.
We're on Penguin Radio. This is DJ Synergy with Queen Bee. You're listening on radio.dominican.edu. We're having a blast. All right. So we are Dominican students living just outside the ever-so-cultured city of San Francisco. And what I have recently been hooked to is the new HBO series called Looking. Queen Bee, I made you watch this, and I know you have a little bit of a you're a little bit not too happy with me.
I'm not happy. I mean, I wanted to watch the show. I watched mm-hmm. Girls, and yes. They like showed the preview after Girls, and I was like, that looks really interesting. And you know, with previews, they always show you like the best parts, and mm-hmm. it's really pretty. It like really encompasses the city in a beautiful way, I have to say. Like,
I was thinking, yeah, like they put in the bars that you can advertise, like, oh, I should go there this weekend, and maybe I'm gonna go to this bookstore that they're in, purchase some like nice little paperback used books. You know, I love shows that actually filmed in the location yeah. that they're set in.
They have the great views of the, you just know it's San Francisco.
I think it's
when
the new Gossip
around.
Girl, honestly. It could totally turn into that.
And mind you, I convinced DJ Synergy that she needed to watch all of Gossip Girl, so that comment is all thanks to me, Queen
it
B.
It is. I spent all of winter break watching Gossip Girl, and I have no shame. But the new HBO series entitled Looking is a show about sex, friends, in San Francisco. The show is about daily life of three gay friends living in the epicenter of gay culture in San Francisco. The creator, Michael Lannon, and director-producer, Andrew Hay, are not, they're not looking to really have like a preachy teaching showcase of gay culture, but rather it's a real life documentation without being like a reality show. And Jonathan Groff, star of Broadway, Glee, and Disney's Frozen, plays a preppy video game designer named Patrick. Now, Groff explains why he thinks Looking stands alone. In his statement, he says, "One of the cool things about our show is that nobody's having a coming out experience. They're not grappling with their sexuality. It's mostly men in their 30s and 40s. It's a show with gay characters, but their issues are at work. Their issues are work, relationships, and their interpersonal." Does he see that as progress? Hopefully. It's a sign of where things are or where they're going. That your sexuality is a big part of who you are, but doesn't define who you are. And so I think a lot of us, we see shows that are completely like explicit, and they like break barriers, and they're not too concerned about being conservative. And this is one of the shows that is really just groundbreaking, and I enjoy the humor about it. I enjoy the culture that's in it, and not a lot of shows have really shown what gay culture is without being overly gay or something like that. Like, a lot of people comment about that stuff. And Queen Bee, I know that you weren't really expecting all of the, graphic scenes in it, but I think it's something that we can work with.
And, you know, I should have expected it. I think I was a little bit naive in my watching it, not thinking that that was a possibility. I don't know why that didn't cross my mind. I mean, it's HBO. I watch Girls. Lena Dunham.
You really
like,
gotta check the show out.
She is walking around like just full on out there. I don't know why I didn't expect this show to be, and it's half of that. Mm-hmm. It's not nearly as explicit or mm-hmm. nearly, I think it's an area that people are uncomfortable with. We're comfortable with seeing women and men on television. We're comfortable with seeing the way that they work together. We're comfortable with seeing them, you know, laying in bed mm-hmm. in the morning, like,
yeah,
whatever. It's normal for us to view those things, but it's not normal for us to see that on mainstream television. And
nope.
I come from a family that's very open. Like, I you know, went home over one weekend to go see my uncles get married. Like, they'd been together for 28 years.
And that was possibly, like, the pictures of that was, like, so cute. And I even shed a tear at one point. I'm very emotional, though.
So
DJ Synergy is also DJ Tears.
So I think I'm very used to it in my personal life, but it comes to be a different thing when you see it in mainstream media, because mm-hmm. I know I'm comfortable with it, but I'm like, if I was someone else.
But we're just 19-year-old ladies,
yeah.
and, you know, we'd have no care in the world for the most part.
Exactly, but the show, like, she read the quote about it, and it is so much so about these people more than it is about being gay. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, that's a part of their life, but it's just as much a part of anyone's life who they love and who they want to spend the rest of their life with at one point in their life. Like, everyone seems to be searching for that, and this show just shows it through different people. And there should be no reason why that shouldn't be, like, celebrated and loved. And it is a little bit weird to watch at first because mm-hmm. you're not used to it
yeah.
being on your television screen.
But, yeah, exactly. It's something that we're getting used to. And, yeah, it's not normal, but not normal yet. And it's the looking HBO series is something that's going to make it normal. It's going to make people be sort of desensitized to it. And it's nothing that's harmful. It's like, it's not like gun warfare. Like, we have so many shows and movies and television that are all geared towards violence. But then it's so weird when you see a guy kissing another guy.
It's so weird that I can watch a show where someone gets shot and killed. Like, I'm watching mm-hmm. CSI and I'm like, ha ha ha.
Like, bodies completely.
Yeah. And, like, I had DJ Synergy watch Bones with me the other day. And she just
about... I was
about,
a little cringy.
Yeah. And I was like, well, no, it's totally normal. But then I was watching the show about two people who genuinely loved each other. And I was like, oh, this is weird. And I was like, why? You know, it's exactly. the way that I've been... seen through media, not the way I've been taught, but the way that, you know, things have been put in my face that this is normal and this isn't. And, you know, it's really neat to see that these people are willing to, you know, show this in the light that is positive and that can definitely change a generation that is struggling with accepting everybody. Like we were talking mm-hmm. about with the Olympics, mm-hmm. you know, we have a voice bigger than we've ever had. And yes. this is an example of that.
Exactly. And I love the time that I'm living in. Like, I know a lot of people think that it's something that tears us down and something that the world is so wrong and all these Facebook posts. I hate my generation because we're so, insensitive to what we, I guess, have and what our belongings are. And we can be pretty materialistic, but then... at the same time, there's a whole population that are, like, geared towards change and making, you know, my favorite is the organization started by John and Hank Green, and it's called the Organization to Decrease World Suck. And, yes, there's so many things in our life that just sucks, but we can change it, and we're all ready for it and embracing it. And the millennial generation always has something to offer. And recently there's been claims by online blogging sites such as Elite Daily, which tagline is the voice of Generation Y, that I, along with the rest of my generation, are the new generation of hippies. This post goes to say that we're the only generation to have legalized weed, and isn't that an accomplishment?
It is an accomplishment. I think that the world needs to be more accepting just in general.
Yes, exactly. And... we're breaking down stereotypes in little steps, big steps. It kind of varies every now and then. And I'm just so happy to have gotten all of that off my chest. I feel like I needed to just kind of put it out there. And thank you for joining me, Queen Bee. You're listening to Penguin Radio on Dominican or radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Made me docile. Then you applauded. was lost then. Today it's replenished, but it was you.
Hello, hello, this is DJ Synergy, and I'm here to tell you about a little tribute that we're going to be having on February 20th for Ron Powell, who just unexpectedly and suddenly died on Sunday, on February 2nd in his sleep at the age of 43. And he was a star player for the men's team between the years of 1991 and 93. He averaged 19.8 points and 9.8 rebounds per game and was a .534 career shooter, made 226 of 351 free throws, grabbed 492 career rebounds, and had 68 career blocks. Wow, he was definitely an impressive player, and we're so sad to have him go. But we will be paying tribute to his life, and that'll be taking place on February 20th at the Conlin Gym. It'll be the doubleheader versus Dixie State, and all proceeds from the ticket sales will go to the Ronald Powell Memorial Fund. Come by, and games are set for 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. at the Collins Center on the Dominican campus. The Powell's four-year-old son, Queen Bee, you want to finish this up?
The money donating to this will be going to the Powell's four-year-old son, Ezekiel. He was diagnosed with a really, really rare form of cancer. He went into the hospital complaining of a stomach ache, and his mom was worried about him and took him in, and it turned out to be cancer. They found out just recently, and so the money's also going to go help for the little boy so he can get help. You can also donate to them, too, directly. There's a link on ezpowell.org. You can donate straight to their family. And this game is on the Thursday night that DJ Synergy mentioned. It's Thursday, February 20th.
Thursday, February 20th at the Conlin Center during the doubleheader versus Dixie State. Thank you, thank you. And hope to see you there.
For anybody who's ever been haunted by anything in their life.
Yeah, I got a ghost.
Let it go.
Yeah, I got a ghost.
Yeah, yeah, and this is not the scenic route. Close your eyes, let me show you what I dream about. We fell asleep up on the ride home to the raindrops and stereo and my phone.
Hello, this is DJ Synergy. I'm here for my last segment with Queen Bee.
Hello, hello.
And I also wanted to bring to the table this week a couple stories on body image. Our first story comes to us from the inspiration of Vanity Fair's 2014 Hollywood portfolio that is set to hit stands tomorrow, February 11th. 20 celebrities embrace the photo shoot with bare skin. Some of our most well-known Hollywood faces will be makeup and airbrush free. Now, this caught my attention because over the last decade, the majority of media publications, like tabloid magazines, have been completely overdone with what the perfect image is. We rarely see our stars without makeup, and Vanity Fair is one beauty magazine that is really trying to dispel this custom. I think after celebrities took to Instagram and started to post selfies and photos that were barely rendered, it made society reconsider the ethics of Photoshop. And our standard of beauty is always being tested. And with the start of the new year, body image is a hot topic. And it's really a great place for Vanity Fair to come forward and produce this issue and get all the public to really just look at the bigger picture. Like, we don't need to be wearing makeup. We don't need to be overcompensating ourselves because we think that we're not good enough if we're not wearing eyeliner, eyeshadow, pounds of little concealer and powder and everything. Don't you agree, Queen Bee?
I totally agree. I think that, you know, we live in a world so much that, like, I don't know why I keep saying this, but we're so judgmental on people. And
why is that? Why do we gotta judge?
And, you know, I grew up and I went to an all-girls school, and at all-girls school, there is not one care given about what you look like when you wake up in the morning. No one cares if you even showered, to be honest. Like, they're just there to learn, and you're there to be a good person, and you're there to, you know, do what you need to do for yourself. And if you have sleep in your eye, it's really not your, you know, partner's
concern.
It's not
the biggest concern of our lives. If you, you know, sometimes we have like an eyelash on our face, and sometimes, you know, we got some food in our teeth, and other times there's just, it's just a bad mess. You're a hot mess. And, but we're brought up to think that the celebrities are completely perfect, always, you know, not wearing any makeup, or just generally perfect people, and they have no scars or moles on their face. Like, I remember watching the Kardashians, and wow, I love the Kardashians. Just have to shout out to them right there. Khloe, the sister, she has a mole on her face, and almost always in any photo shoot, they would always take it off of her face, and she made a comment, if they keep photoshopping the mole off my face, when people meet me, they're going to be so concerned, like, where did that come from? What is up with you, Khloe? And I'm really excited. I think I might even go out and buy this magazine issue and
support the fact that they're actually making a conscious decision to show that what you see on the pages of a magazine aren't what you're going to see when you meet that person.
Exactly. You exactly. Know. I was looking at photos that Yahoo News put up to promote the Vanity Fair issue, and it has stars like Scarlett Johansson and, excuse me, we also have, let's see, Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm pretty sure, on the scene, and other people that, you know, you think that they're perfect, and even Lady Gaga, who is completely overproduced all the time, she even goes down strips to her bare skin, and there's just all of this going on, and I'm really excited for it, and I think that it's something that we can really put on, like, the success side of our list for the day.
I completely agree. I think that, you know, we need to show young girls and even young boys, you know, that's something that we often don't think about. But there's everyone out there, you know, is affected by what beauty should be and what we need to, you know, think about it. My favorite, though, has to go out to my lady, Beyonce.
Queen Bee's Queen Bee.
She really does show who she really is. Like, I mean, lots of celebrities do, but there's just something about when someone who is so powerful, mm-hmm, and who almost, I don't know anyone except for maybe my dad, who doesn't revere her as one of the most amazing women out there right now, who just has a voice that is speaking volumes.
And if you have not heard the new Beyonce album, I don't know if we can be friends for the time being. I mean, I can burn you a CD copy of Queen Bee's copy, because I don't have my own. I am a college student. I am not here to be purchasing, like, $14 albums. I'm not sure how much it is,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it's about 14, but you get 17 music videos and 14 songs that are just pure genius.
That is very true, and actually my next paycheck might be slightly attributed to getting my own copy.
It's entitled Beyonce by Beyonce. It'll change your life. She's an amazing woman. She talks about flawlessness and that, mm-hmm, you know what, in reality, you wake up in the morning and guess what? You are
real
flawless.
Oh.
Good try.
I am flawless. I am excited to be embracing my flawlessness. Yes. But, Queen Bee, I have a little factoid for you.
Hit me with it.
Did you know the average model weighs 23? That's almost a whole 0.25% less than the average woman.
Wow.
Yeah, take that in.
Like 23%, not just 23 pounds, like 23%.
No, percent. Wow. Let's just throw that out there. Our distortions on who is a real woman is convoluting our behaviors as a participant in society. Where we eat, where we diet, or I mean what we diet, how much time we dedicate to the gym, or how much time we even dedicate to just looking in the mirror and over analyzing our bodies. And and we find that through what the tabloid magazines are telling us to think, and it's completely a direct reflection of our perceptions of beauty. The curvy woman is countlessly attacked, and many times the public, but more so the magazines and the social media that is putting out issues about what beauty is supposed to be is completely just, it's going to the far, far end of what a woman should be. But Cosmopolitan magazine published an article on 8 gorgeous plus-sized models of the fashion, or that the fashion industry is ignoring and is underrepresenting. Isn't that a feat?
I think that it's amazing, and I think that one thing that really needs to change is that we are calling plus-size models when they're really just real people.
Exactly.
They're not plus-size. They just fit clothes that aren't a size zero.
That's very true. And even when you are the size of all scales, when there's all scales of sizes, is what I'm trying to say, you're still beautiful. One person, two people, all people should all love you no matter what. It's what is inside that is going to really bring you happiness and peace within the earth, is what I'm all about.
What? Inner peace breeds outer peace. Preach it.
So we're going to shout out right now the 8 women who are actually showcased in this issue. Denise Bedott, Natalie Monet, Jacqueline Rivera, Danielle Zavala, Grizzle Angel, Paola, Fluvia Lacerda, Rosie Mercado, and Lorna Litz Bays are all proving that beauty comes in all shapes, sizes, and ethnicities. They're here to represent the underrepresented Latina models. The issue does focus on Latina-only models that are plus size, but even that is one population of the model industry where you don't really oftentimes see Latina models.
It's very true. They're underrepresented, and they're underrepresented because, let's be real, you know, by where your roots are, your cultures have mm-hmm. different body types. In the Latina culture,
they're curvy.
Real women have curves.
No, my hips don't lie.
There's a reason why they are known for being that way, but they're underrepresented for the little girls growing up who are built that way, you know.
Mm-hmm. And all the little girls carrying around their dollies that are, you know, just completely only one size. It's I think that the Barbie, especially Mattel, they have like created demons for women in their lives. Like that follows you. Like when I played with Barbies and Polly Pocket as a child, that's who I wanted to strive to be. Like those were my role models when I would watch shows, because they had made shows about Barbie, right? Even
and Bratz dolls.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I forgot about the Bratz. They're a little bit edgy, though. I liked them.
Yeah, but their heads were so disproportionate.
They were lollipops. Yeah. That was a lollipop lady. Some big head with little stick body.
It's not healthy for the girls, though. You know, we want them to be healthy and we want them to be happy. They need positive women in their lives who look normal. Mm-hmm. Yes, everyone is gorgeous. I think that there's no one out there on the street who you could legitimately be like, I'm sorry, no one in the world's going to think you're pretty. Someone in the world thinks you're pretty.
Exactly.
No matter what, you're pretty to somebody.
Exactly. And these 8 women who are showcasing the issue, they're taking a risk with the fashion industry and how society's definition of what beauty should and needs to be, it has to change. It just needs to. I think that we're so stricken with forcing our bodies into one little cookie cutter shape, and that's just not okay. I'm calling it just nope. I cannot even tolerate it at this point. I even just almost threw my water bottle across the room. Isn't that right, Queen Bee?
It just went choo-choo. Good thing this place is soundproof because it bounced off the wall.
Good thing. Another story that will play with your heartstrings is a video from the Organization for Disabled Persons called Pro Infirmis. The reason behind the video was in lieu of the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. This is a powerful video that takes five people's bodies to create disabled mannequins to display at the store. It was called Modissa. I'm pretty sure it was the European store. Mm-hmm. It's entitled Because Who is Perfect to Get Closer. It is designed to provoke reflection on the acceptance of people with disabilities. And director Elaine Gisboner has captured the campaign as a short film. Now, I watched this last night, and it was just so cool to me to see the transformation of the mannequin. They show you, they take a full mannequin with all their dimensions that are supposedly perfect, and they cut it down, they reshape it, they mold it into these bodies that they're disabled. And one lady, she was kind of shaped like an S, the way that her skeleton, I guess, was aligned. And they completely accurately could display her proportions in a mannequin. And I mean, just for me to watch that, that was like emotional. But for them to see, you know, you go into a store and you see all these mannequin bodies that are perfect, and they've never seen their body represented before. And they, you watch them walk over to the mannequin, stand next to them, and it's perfect. And it's like, oh, tears everywhere. And they're like, wow, like that's my body. And even once the mannequins went into the store, they put a little camera there to like watch customers' reaction, like window shoppers passing by and like, whoa, like that's not a normal mannequin. And they go and take a closer look. And I think even just, you don't even need explanation for that kind of a situation.
No, it speaks volumes to the fact that people just like to see what is them. You know, you want to walk down the street and see something that you feel is a part of you. And when you walk into something and you feel like they actually care about what you look like and what you're doing with your life and your problems and your concerns, you know,
mm-hmm.
seeing anything that cares that much means a lot. Like the fact that, you know, like commercials are more putting in, you know, different types of families.
Oh yeah,
you know,
like that one Cheerios commercial with the interracial family. Oh, we watch that all the time, don't we?
It's my favorite. I posted it on my dad's Facebook wall last night because I've always wanted a puppy and I never got a puppy, and I was like, this girl's negotiation skills must be better than mine. Mm-hmm. But she also looks exactly like me.
And talking about ads, the Super Bowl was a couple Sundays ago, and there was one ad, oh my gosh, like Super Bowl, yeah, cool. It's like fun to watch the sports, whatever. I'm not that concerned.
That was an awful game too, so it didn't even matter.
That was a pretty bad game. And all the like games that I've watched, like maybe to a handful, that was the worst one that I've ever watched. But the ads, as a social marketer, interest, communications, and media person, I was just like glued to the ads. And there was one ad that showcased, it was a bunch of different culturally diverse people singing, what is it, America the Beautiful, in yeah. different languages. And there was huge backlash to that.
It's insane.
And there was even on Twitter, they were posting hashtag Speak American and posting the link next to it. And I was like, excuse me, but what is the American language exactly? Aren't we supposed to be a melting pot of culturally diverse people and embracing that there's difference and accepting and actually just expressing that, hi, I am an American and I have difference, but I am a part of a entire country.
You know, and there's a ton of comments on their Facebook. If you go to their Facebook, while Coke posted the thing, and the comments on it, are just awful. Like, my friend sent me a bunch of them. One of them was like saying how Coke blew it, how I'm going to go purchase Pepsi, that, you know, USA takes care of the world. You should have left America's song alone. And first of all, I don't know if people are aware of this, but that's not even our national anthem.
It's not at all.
You know,
it was a foreigner actually
made that point.
Wrote that song.
Yeah.
It's not.
America was not founded by people from America.
Yes, yes. There we go.
Let's just bring that back to old school, all right? Let's bring that back to 1776.
That's a story for another day, definitely. But I was like, wow, this is a Coke commercial. And it's like, it's going to represent our shift of, hi, I'm a white person, middle class, and that's all that Americans are. No, we're showing that there's foreigners, there's people that speak multiple language, they're trilingual, quadlingual, everything in between. And I was very, very proud of this ad and so happy that it was able to be broadcasted during the Super Bowl where most people are watching in America, because it really does represent the whole social, cultural conflicts that we have going on. But thank you for listening today.
Of course, guys. Thank you so much. It was such
a fun time, and the fun does not stop here. At 5 o'clock, we will be having DJ Suave, so smooth and suave, and then we'll be followed up by DJ Roughhouse. He's going to be talking a little bit about fantasy sports, just a little precursor to his show. And then followed by that is DJ Liberty, a show about politics and, you know, getting the no spin on politics. I remember him explaining that to me. And I'm just so happy to have hosted you all today. And thank you, Queen Bee, so much, so much. The thanks will never stop for having you on today's show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here to celebrate your first show here on radio.dominican.edu.
On Penguin Radio. Guys, this is going to be a great spring semester. There's a lot in store, and I cannot wait to speak with you next week on Monday from 3 to 4 on my show, Culture Crossover. Thank you, and have a great time listening to the following DJs. That's DJ Suave from, 5 to 6, and then back to back, we got DJ Roughhouse, 6 to 7, and then DJ Liberty, 7 to 8. Oh, wow, I'm so good at counting. That was
good
great.
Good job, DJ Synergy.
Yeah. All right. And take it easy, everyone.